This is Twit.
The iPhone SE has been announced. We'd heard about this for a while. Tell us about the big specs. I'm talking screen measurement. Is it going to be a 4-inch phone I fit in my big monster hand? Is it going to be a tiny phone? And I would like to know about that camera on the back, because that was the most interesting thing to me.
Yeah, so if you've seen an iPhone in the last several years, an iPhone 6, 6S, 7, 8, the SE is going to look pretty familiar to you, because it looks almost identical to those. It's got the same chassis design. It's got the same 4.7-inch screen as the iPhone 7 and 8 with that Retina HD. So it looks almost indistinguishable from the outside. The biggest difference might be just, you know, it's coming in black, white, and product red colors. So that's a little bit different than some of the previous ones, just in terms of the various model shades that were available. But other than that, you're not going to see a lot different here. It's got a physical home button with a Touch ID. It's going to weigh about the same. Honestly, it probably even fits cases for the iPhone 8. That's how similar it is. On the spec side, the biggest news is the A13 Bionic chip, which is the same chip that's basically in the iPhone 11 series. And that basically means this is like cutting edge, right? Like, this is not, it may be a cheaper phone, it may be using an older product sort of design, but the internals are updated. And that's the most important part, because this is a phone that I think Apple expects people to buy and clearly hold on to for many years. The previous generation, the iPhone SE, was like 4 years ago. And, you know, people are just starting to like get desperate to replace those. And as for the camera, so it's a 12 megapixel camera with an 1.8 aperture. This is pretty much the same as the sort of main wide camera you'll find on the back of the other iPhones. The biggest news with it is that it comes with the portrait mode and portrait lighting effects. And a lot of that is probably enabled by that A13 Bionic chip, which can do a lot of the heavy computational photography lifting. So you're not necessarily going to find something that's like a brand new element here, right? But it's something that is getting used in a lot of Apple's other phones, which themselves have this lens in addition to other lenses. I think previously the iPhone XR, 10R, gosh, even I can't remember, had the portrait mode with the one lens. Unlike, you know, a lot of the other iPhones required multiple lenses and sort of, you know, interpolated data from both of them. But this one also does all those portrait lighting effects and has a couple of the lighting effects that were not available on the 10R. So again, looking at that A13 Bionic chip as a reason why it can do all of these extra features.
So the last SE was discontinued back in 2018. Is that right? So this is the first one in the last couple of years, let's say the second generation SE. And what's happened since then, at least on the Google side of things, is that last year they had the Pixel 3a, which is their $400 kind of Pixel phone that came out that did really well. I mean, in Google terms anyways, Pixel phones in general aren't the most amazing sellers, definitely not compared to Apple. But for that price category, I mean, so many people, myself included, had the 3A at the top of the list for last year's best smartphones. It was just an amazing value. And one of the big reasons for that was because the camera was nearly identical to the camera system that you got on the more expensive Pixel phone. Do you think that the camera improvements that we're seeing here on the SE make it kind of a similar comparison, especially as we have the Pixel 4a coming out probably in the next month or two? Do you think these are very similar in that regard?
Yeah, I actually do. I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, the camera mode, you know, there's certain things you're only going to get on the higher end camera, right? Like, so the night mode feature, I think, is mostly on the higher end. But you get optical image stabilization, you get, you know, digital zoom, you get the true tone flash, you get the portrait mode and all the different lightings. Like, you only have one lens, right? So it can't do sort of the ultra wide and other types of telephoto and things like that. But, you know, this is the lens that iPhones have had basically, right? Like, when they had only one camera, this was the camera they had pretty much. So, you know, if you're upgrading from a, you know, 6 or an iPhone 7, then you're going to find a lot of improvements and you're not probably going to notice as much because you're not coming down from, say, an iPhone 11 or an 11 Pro, which has a lot more options in that. So I think you're right. the value is high because not only does it provide the camera that most people use for most things, it provides the features that they want and it provides at a great price.
Nice. Yeah, let's I know we've, you know, sort of bounced around about the price, but what are we looking at in total across the whole spectrum, you know, from 64, 128, 256? Because I think this is kind of shocking, honestly. It's a really good price.
Yeah, so it starts at 64 gig for $399, and then it's only a $50 jump to the 128, so double the storage for $50 more, which really seems like the sweet spot. If you go up another $100 to $549, you'll get a 256 gigabyte model. So it's not, you know, in the older days, especially that first generation of SE, there was often a feeling of sort of nickel and diming because it was a very low amount of storage for the introductory rate, and they really wanted to upsell you, whereas 64 gigs is a pretty reasonable capacity for a lot of people, especially those looking for the most affordable phone. And, you know, if you can afford to spend that extra $50 to double the storage, then I think you're going to be very happy with that indeed.
Nice. So three colors with this one, the product red, the white, and the black. Are these standard colors and displays that we've seen in the past? Typically the white one, I think, would have a white front, but the white one has a black front now. So do all three of them offer that black display on the front?
Yeah, I think they're all black on the front. I haven't seen them in person, but I think that's sort of the idea, and that the back has sort of that same kind of aluminum glass finish that you'll see on things like the 11 and the 11 Pro, but without the same you know, colors. Obviously, the 11 Pro had that midnight green color, but I think the both the sort of black, it's actually a black. It's not a space gray for once, which is also a bit of a change. But you'll have that sort of like same uniform color on the back, as opposed to earlier models like the 7 and 8. I think, you know, you tended to get more of the sort of like silver color or gold metallic tones.
So ultra wideband chip is not in this, which it is in the most recent iPhone 11. Interestingly, that UWB chip is also not in the most recent iPad Pros. Anything to read there? Is this a technology that maybe is not meant to be Apple experimenting across its entire device space, or are we reading too much into it in that way?
I think that's a great question. I don't know. I don't think we know at this point. The only place we've seen it deployed is in that iPhone 11 series, and Apple has been pretty close-mouthed about what they're going to use it for. They've discussed that it has sort of like this sort of presence sensing capability, and it allows for things like a AirDrop features that are more like directional, essentially, than sort of how it works with just Bluetooth. There's a lot of rumor that it has to do with these AirTag tiles that Apple's working on, which lets you find objects that you attach them to, but very little has been said about it. So I don't know. I think probably, if I had to guess, that both on mainly the SE, I imagine it's a matter of keeping costs down. That's a new technology. It's one that hasn't been broadly deployed, and it's one that we don't really know a lot about the use cases for. So even though Apple might want this to be sort of a long-term phone that people buy, maybe they just felt like it wasn't there yet. On the iPad side, I don't know. Not everything that makes it to an iPhone always makes it into an iPad either, right? Like 3D Touch never made it into an iPad. So perhaps this is a case where Apple's really envisioning a use case that involves the iPhone, a device that you're going to be, you know, carrying with you everywhere you go. So that would be my best guess, is that it has to do more with where Apple sees this technology going. And maybe it's a much more limited use case than we originally thought.
That makes sense. Excuse me, that makes sense. So this is the product for the masses. Yeah, this is the every person's product, I would say. And, you know, you've got the Pro model, and then this is sort of the distinction where you've got they're not going to call it the budget model, but it kind of seems to be the budget model.